In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee thy boundless mercy, for the sake and the holy innocent of your sufferings and death, thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who for the sake of thine own dear Son hast made us thy children by adoption, we beseech thee, govern us by thy Holy Spirit, that as Christ hath also loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to thee for a sweet-smelling savor, even so may we love thee and our neighbor and walk as children of light in all purity and righteousness and truth, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Oculi, the third Sunday in Lent, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9, and reads as follows. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Now sing hymn 394. Thank you. gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 11, beginning at verse 14 and reading through to verse 28 as follows. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he, and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, as this is found on page 22 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, and the kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 7 through 10, and reads as follows. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Here endeth the reading of the text. Beloved friends in Christ, and fellow hearers of his word. The threefold office for which Christ was anointed with the Holy Ghost without measure is prophet, priest, and king. Our text for today directs us to think about what he did for our salvation as our great priest. As our priest, Jesus kept the law of God perfectly for us. That's what we call his active obedience. And he suffered the penalty of our guilt, suffering the punishment we deserve because of our sins. We call that his passive obedience. During the season of Lent, our special focus is on his passive obedience, his suffering for us, his holy passion, by which we are saved from the punishment we deserve, even eternal damnation in hell. According to the Old Testament ceremonial laws, the only men who could serve in the temple of God as priest needed to be descendants of Aaron from the tribe of Levi. However, the Lord Jesus was neither a descendant of Aaron nor was he from the tribe of Levi. The Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament did foreshadow the work of Christ, even the sacrifice of himself on the cross. But Jesus was not part of that order of priests. He was not part of the order of the Levitical priests. In the Old Testament, in Psalm 110, verse 4, he was foretold to be a priest of a different order, as is also mentioned in the last verse of our text for today, after the order of Melchizedek. He was a very unique figure in the Old Testament, who was also a non-Levitical priest. One of the main differences between Jesus and the priests of the Old Testament is this. Jesus did not offer animal sacrifices as a symbol of the atonement. Instead, he offered up himself as the one atoning sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. Let this then be the focus of our meditation today. How Jesus, as our great high priest, suffered to save us. On the basis of our text, we shall first consider the point that Jesus, as our high priest, in his humiliation, relied on God for help during his sufferings. Secondly, that through his sufferings and death, Christ became the author of our salvation. And thirdly, we shall consider what it means that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. The first verse of our text refers to Jesus' state of humiliation as the days of his flesh, because during that period of time he was living more like a normal human being, withholding from himself the full and constant use of his divine attributes according to his human nature. Even though in a state of exaltation, he is still a true human being, he is no longer living on earth like an ordinary man. One of the ways that Jesus clearly showed what it meant for him to be in his state of humiliation was how he would always pray to his heavenly Father for help, instead of just making use of his own divine powers. In this way, he atoned for all of our sins in failing to pray as often and as fervently as we should. And he also gave the perfect example for us to follow in our lives. Probably the most frequently thought of time when Jesus prayed most earnestly for the help of his heavenly Father was at the beginning of his intense sufferings in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed that if it were possible, the cup of suffering for the atoning of the world might be removed from him. That sad scene in Gethsemane, which has been illustrated in many famous works of art, is described in the first verse of our text as follows. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that is able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, which means praying in godly reverence and respect. Now it may seem odd that Christ, the all-powerful Son of God, is described in this verse in this way, being so dependent upon the help of his heavenly Father, praying with strong crying and tears. But again, this shows how utterly dependent he was in his state of humiliation. He did not use his divine powers to make life easy on himself. He would use his powers from time to time to help others, but not just to help himself. For that, he always went to his heavenly Father, as we should. Remember also how he refused to turn stones into bread, being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. And he was intensely hungry, but he simply prayed to his heavenly Father, and he sustained him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, less than 24 hours before his crucifixion, Jesus prayed most earnestly for any possible deliverance from the suffering that he knew awaited him, which included the wrath of God against the sins of the whole world, as the punishment that was to be laid on him as the sin-bearer for all mankind. Though it was his human will to avoid suffering pain, and there was nothing wrong with that, there's nothing sinful about wanting to avoid pain, yet at the same time he submitted that will to the will of his heavenly Father, which was also his own divine will to redeem mankind. He prayed thusly, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt. And that is the perfect example for us to follow when we're praying for bodily blessings not specifically promised us in the scriptures. As Jesus did, we should pray that God would grant our requests if it's his will to do so, in his infinite wisdom and grace. Our Savior Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. And the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, loved him very much. On two separate occasions, the Father declared from heaven concerning Christ, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But even though he was loved of the Father, it was still necessary for him to endure much pain and suffering for us, to redeem us from our sins. As was mentioned earlier, this part of his redemptive work is what we call his passive obedience. And it's described in the next verse as follows. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience to the suffering and death by enduring the suffering and death in self-imposed humility. Writing to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul describes the same thing in this way. He, Christ, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Yes, Christ humbled himself to the point of allowing his enemies to inflict intense pain upon him, including the pain of death by crucifixion. And obviously, as true God, Christ had the power to stop anyone from hurting him if he had chosen to do so. But the Lord Jesus did not use his divine power to stop his enemies or take away the pain or keep himself from dying. Instead, Christ, the God of all creation, so humbled himself that he allowed his enemies to put him to death, nailing him to the cross. And this was a crucial part of our redemption, Christ humbling himself in this way. It was through that suffering that God executed his wrath against us on our substitute, the only begotten Son of God. Through the humiliation of Christ, the justice of God was satisfied, and forgiveness has been purchased for all mankind. As was mentioned in last Sunday's sermon, his work of redemption would not have been complete if he avoided this suffering for us. That point is also brought out in our text for today, where we read, "And being made perfect," which means complete, "through suffering, he became the author," or more literally, "the cause of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." We Christians are, of course, the ones who obey him in love and faith. The unbelievers do not. They neither want to nor can they obey Christ. And while it is true that Jesus earned salvation for the whole world, for every sinner on the planet, yet it is also true that only Christians receive him as their Savior and thus receive the benefits of his redemptive work. Thus the Apostle Paul describes Jesus in this way in his first letter to Timothy. He is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. As was mentioned earlier, the work of Christ, whereby he atoned for the sins of the world rendered to God under his office as priest. And in the last verse of our text, Psalm 110, verse 4 is referred to, in which Jesus, the Messiah, is described as being a special kind of priest, not after the order of the Levites, but after the order of Melchizedek, who is a man who shows up just very briefly in the history of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, we read, "Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And Abram gave Melchizedek tithes of all." But why would Jesus be, as he is in the last verse of our text, described as being called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek? The various reasons are explained in greater detail in Hebrews chapter 7. But to sum it up briefly here, Melchizedek is described in Scripture as being both a king and a priest. And already there we can see one of the ways that he typified Christ, who is both king and priest. Additionally, Genesis 14 verse 18 refers to this man as Melchizedek and King of Salem. And both of those titles have significance. The name Melchizedek means King of Righteousness. And King of Salem literally means King of Peace. So it shouldn't be hard to see why the title King of Righteousness pointed forward to Christ, because he is the Lord our righteousness, fully righteous in himself, bringing us righteousness and the forgiveness of all our sins. Likewise, the title King of Peace, which is what King of Salem literally means, also points forward to Christ as the Prince of Peace, the one who came to bring peace on earth, goodwill toward men. He brings us true peace with our God, so that we need not fear his wrath and punishment, can look forward to receiving everlasting peace and joy in heaven. Additionally, in Hebrews chapter 7, other details about Melchizedek are pointed out as foreshadowing things about Christ, including Jesus' divine attribute of eternity, his superiority to Abraham, and his non-Levitical priesthood. Because these points are brought out, points of comparison between Melchizedek and Jesus, some have concluded that Melchizedek actually was Jesus pre-incarnate. However, the Bible clearly says that Melchizedek was like Christ. This comes out in Hebrews 7, verses 3 and 15. If a person is declared to be like someone else, then he can't be that other person. When we think about Christ as our great high priest, we should not only remember what he did for us to atone for our sins as our perfect sacrifice, the perfect substitute under the requirements and punishment of God's holy law, but we should remember also what he is still doing for us today as our priest, interceding for us, pleading for our forgiveness at the right hand of God. St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, Christ is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And later in this epistle to the Hebrews, we read, Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Though we daily sin much, and indeed deserve nothing but punishment on account of our innumerable sins and transgressions, in thoughts, desires, words, and deeds, yet Christ is continually pleading for our forgiveness, continuously applying and reapplying his righteousness to cancel out our guilt. So may we never cease to praise and thank our most gracious God and our most glorious High Priest. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O thou dear Lord, who hast given us rich and abundant gifts to enjoy in this world, we now place before thee of that which thou hast given to us, and we ask thee to bless these offerings for thy work among us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us rise to pray. Lord God most holy, who dwellest in the heavens, without whom there is no help, and with whom there is true safety, be thou the guardian and defender of all who lift up their souls unto thee, and who in their desolation or affliction seek thy mercy. We thank thee for the love of Jesus, that in his compassion and grace he freely gave himself as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, yielding up his perfect life as an offering for our redemption and salvation. With grateful hearts we thank thee for the willing spirit in which he gave himself for us, fulfilling for us all the demands of thy holy law, and completely satisfying thy divine justice. Let thy hand, O Lord, rest upon thy church to prosper and defend it against the devil. Give success to all who teach thy word, proclaim the glorious gospel of salvation, and in Christ's name, minister to the souls of men throughout the world. Give faithfulness to thy people, that they may labor earnestly with Christ, to gather his harvest into thine eternal kingdom, and provide us with men whose hearts are filled with the earnest desire to serve thee in the pastoral office which thou hast ordained, that we may not be visited with a famine of thy word, but that the pure teachings of thy word may continue among us for generations to come. Graciously continue to bless Pastor Leitz with the health and strength he needs to do the work that thou hast given him at Trinity Congregation in Oak Park. Bless our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Help them during the very difficult circumstances in which they are living. Pour down thy blessing upon them according to their various needs. Hear their prayers. Comfort them with thy presence. Unite us all in one spirit in thy church on earth and finally in thy courts in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we also now pray for our communicants. Dear Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls. We pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with a garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.